What it is, what it do, welcome to Movers and Shakers. Ben Feltmate, you are the first guest on the podcast. How are you, my friend?
I'm honored. Thank you very much for having me. This is going to be a blast.
I can't wait, dude. So let's just jump right into it, eh?
Right on.
If that's cool, so let's catch up a little bit. We haven't spoken for a little bit of time via voice. We haven't
that's right.
seen each other for even longer, I'm sure. But how did we meet, Ben? Tell us how we met, and then tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, Curtis, you and I met in one of my favorite memories I've ever had.
Yes.
And for a long time, I introduced myself to people with this video that you cut together of us meeting. But essentially, it was a really snowy day in Halifax. And a buddy of ours, Cole, had these athletic rings that you could do exercises with. Yeah. And another friend of ours named Robin had a pickup truck. And then another friend of ours, Avery, you know, the three of us just got together and said, you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to put these rings on the back of this truck and rip through downtown Halifax as fast as we can. Curtis, you're going to film it. and so we like burned through one of the best snowstorms I've ever seen in my life. All the way through Halifax. You did a great job on that edit, man. You did a super job on that, especially the shot of us gliding past the police station.
Oh my goodness. And it made the 6 o'clock news two nights in a row.
Oh yeah, we were the front page of CTV Atlantic for like a week.
What a cute meat story, eh?
I think so. That's pretty meat cute.
So that's how we met, and most of our interactions are over the internet, Instagram mostly. I did follow your journey across the world, where you were hyper-saving university, doing an engineering degree, if I
that's
am
right.
correct.
Yep.
So is that where the whole hyper-saving started? By the way, Ben, he has a little Instagram called Frugal Feltmate, where he shows how to live frugally. He lives on $30 a week for groceries, which is insane. I thought I was doing well with mine. Apparently, I spend over $56 a week on my food.
So that's not bad. That's not a bad start.
Yeah. So tell me about how it started and how you managed to survive university like that.
Okay. Well, it started with now it's $30 an hour, $30 a week because I live up in the north. And things are a bit more expensive, but it used to be $25 a week for the first 5 years that I was doing it. And yeah, but I mean, they say necessity is the mother of invention, and that's really true in this case. Essentially, after I'd paid my tuition and paid my rent, I only had $25 a week left. Like, that's just how the math shook out, and there was no more money. It wasn't going to come from anywhere else, so it was either figure this out or I don't get to eat, which of course is no option, which, you know, there's this thing in life, I find there's a barrier when things get so ridiculous, they no longer seem impossible because you just laugh. You're like, there's no way. But little by little, I was actually able to figure it out, hunt down deals, and make ends meet, like actually survive on $25 a week. Mm-hmm. Started with the number one thing I cook is stir fry, even to this day.
Really?
That's true. I love it.
Rice-based, a bit of chicken or something? Or
oh, yeah. Well, let's not go crazy with chicken, you know.
Right.
Like,
it's expensive.
It's really expensive. You get it cheap once in a while. But usually I'm more tofu-based. But basically, that's how it all started out. And then that got me into the last year of my degree. And I had two co-op terms back-to-back. Okay. And that's a really important thing about engineering or any degree that offers a co-op program is it gives you a break from paying tuition and actually puts money in your pocket.
Right, so you're getting paid for both of those co-ops?
Exactly, and they were back-to-back. Yeah. So instead of like what had been happening before in the degree was you'd have 2 years of just study straight up and then a summer break and you'd get to make some money there. And then maybe one co-op for every two terms where you're just barely making, you know, you'd make about $10,000 or $11,000 in a co-op. And then engineering tuition plus rent just gone. That's you know, like literally that's it. And then having two back to back and not having to pay tuition instead finally put me in a bit more of a financially steady place. But I still didn't have a job guaranteed out of school, so I just kept my extreme saving ways. I mean, by then I'd just gotten comfortable. I mean, you know, hey, $25 a week sounds crazy when you've never done it, but you've done it for the past 3 years. I mean, what else would you do?
It's normal, yeah.
Right, the system works. I you know, I've got enough energy to bike every day. I rarely get sick. I stay up late and do all these things. You know, my body must be fueled properly. I mean, yeah, you know, it's operating. And so I decided to keep that the way it was. And once I started making more money than I was dumping into my tuition costs, and keeping that cost of living so low, mm-hmm. I all of a sudden had some stuff to play with. And so not only did I graduate without any debt, but I actually had $8,000 left over, also in part because of the doing my income tax with the, as a student, you get some pretty generous kickbacks.
Okay, so you got a big kickback from that.
Right, because it's just Canada, or at least Nova Scotia, does a great job. I think it's federally, though. It's something like, I can't remember exactly what it is, but $400 or $600 a course or something like that. I can't quite remember how it breaks out, but yeah. But the income tax is it's not insignificant. Every student should really do a good job on their income tax every year. There's a lot of money that you can get back, especially because you're not earning anything, right?
Exactly. You're just spending money. Like,
right.
Most people don't have jobs in university.
Right. I couldn't. If it wasn't for the co-op terms, I never would have been able to. Yeah. Like, to try and work and go to school at the same time, I never could have done it. But to have that break and say, look, no classes this semester, just work, that was huge. So I suddenly had two co-op terms back to back. I'd kept up with all my tuition payments. I never went into debt, and I kept living on this extremely tight budget.
Right.
And then when I had that other co-op term, and I only had one more term of school to pay for, my income tax came back for me in that late spring. I had $8,000 left, and I took a year off and traveled the world.
Which is absolutely like crazy to think about, because when most people think about traveling the world, like, I've looked up a couple stats on that, and they say, you know, to bring like 15K, 20K, like,
yeah,
$8,000 is unthought of.
Like, it was tight. But that being said, you know, there's a lot of creative ways to see the world this day. With the power of the internet, it's incredible. I mean, have you ever heard of woofing?
You cut out for a quick second when you said that word. What was it?
Woofing. W-W-O-O-O-F.
Woofing.
Woofing. So it stands for Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. And it was this movement that started way back where you could go online, check out this website, and you could literally search by country or even community who's looking for workers. And in exchange for your labor, usually 4 to 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, they'll feed you every day of the week and give you a place to stay. Uh-huh. And it's completely free. I think it's like $35 per year to be a member of the website. It's the best $35 you ever spend. Like,
my brain is telling me that you spent time on a farm, and in the evenings you were in a trailer and you would write in a diary. Is that you?
That's me. That is me.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Nice memory. That was me. That was in Croatia.
In Croatia. Oh my gosh. My friend's girlfriend's from Croatia.
It's a great place.
They produce some lovely women.
They certainly do. They do a lot of things right over there.
What were you doing on the farm over there?
Basically, I did a bit of surveying for them. So I mapped out they had a forest with a bunch of fruit trees in it, and they had a garden, and they needed me to map that. So I did that and had an altimeter, and actually did like the actual latitude lines and everything, to a semi-professional map. Any real map maker probably would have scoffed, but
right.
It worked really well for them. That's all they needed was somebody to take it seriously with a long, like, you know, 100-foot measuring tape and an altimeter to really bang out the details, and it was a lot of fun.
So they could do it, but it was just tedious? That was the issue?
Well, they weren't quite sure how to approach it, and they had other things that they knew we couldn't do. Like, they had to manage the finances of the farm, and they're like, okay, well, we got to handle this. Let's get these kids to do this stuff.
That's
so, yeah, it was really fun. I also got to thatch a roof of a cottage.
Oh my!
Like, went down to like the riverlands with a scythe and like just harvested reeds and like bundled them together, climbed up onto a stick frame hut, and like stuffed the leaves in and actually thatched the roof of a cottage.
I've never used one, but I hear they're really efficient, a scythe.
They're unbelievable. It doesn't even feel real. Like
Yeah.
it's a reason it's been around forever. That's an amazing device. But yeah, and they let me stay for free, and it was one of the greatest months of my life. And I spent, I think in that entire month, I think I spent maybe $100 and
Yeah.
just spared no, like had every adventure you could ever want. Like went to Plitvice, I can't remember exactly how to pronounce it. It's Plitvice, which is this like waterfall fairy tale paradise in Croatia. It's an amazing country. And then after that, I spent a month just being a tourist in Croatia, being an adventurer. And you know, it's so cheap there already that if you spend $30 a day, you're living like royalty. I mean, I
That's
wanted for
crazy.
nothing. I think I spent in my entire time in the Balkans, I think I spent about, oh, 2.5 or 3 months in the Balkans all in, and I think I spent something like $2,000 for that
That
whole
is
3 months.
just
And
people
I
spend
lived
$2,000 in like 3 weeks here.
right, and I lived large in the Balkans. Like we were having every adventure, like going canyoning, like rock
Yeah.
climbing, going to like exotic islands with peacocks, and like seeing the set, being on like the set of Game of Thrones, and drinking every night, you know, partying. I mean, you just it, your money goes so much. If as a Canadian, your money goes so far over there.
So, what do you say to the people who like they don't spend their money wisely? They say, "Oh, I can, it must be nice." I hear that a lot from people. It must be nice. But then you see them spending money on on stuff that doesn't matter, on eating out, on cigarettes. Like it's like what do you say to them, Ben? Like what's the
Well,
secret?
I don't know if there's, that's a great question. I don't know if there is a secret, but one really big thing that kind of gets me is that I would always ask people is, what's the goal here? You know, right? Like, what's the real mission? And I mean, if one of your favorite things to do in life, like the mission is, I want to live a life where every week I eat out or something like that, or it brings me so much joy. And then it's like, okay, well, you know, hey, that's pretty meaningful. I mean, you know, if that's really what you're going for, that's great. But you know, a lot of the time, people I find don't know what their goal is, or they don't have one, or they're just kind of living the life because it's comfortable this way and this is fine. And I mean, why would you go to these extreme lengths that I go to and save this money if you didn't need to, right? I mean, until something really knocks on your door and says, here's a problem you need to solve, I mean, why would I have savings at all? In fact, it's been, I can't remember where I read this, but I read something somewhere, take this with a grain of salt, that humans have an easier time paying off debt than they do saving up money. Because a debt is an apparent problem, and saving is for problems that we don't even know we're going to have yet, right?
I haven't heard that, but it makes sense in my body. My body's not rejecting that. Like
Yeah.
that's
But
wild to think about.
what I would say to anybody, you know, who's dropping cash left, right, and center and buying fancy stuff and all these things, I would just ask them, you know, what is the goal? You know, and if the goal is, you know, I want to look a certain way, or I think I'm supposed to do this, or this is what I've always done, you know, that's fine. If it makes them happy, maybe they'll question that. But if those same people are saying, oh man, like, I wish I could get out of this 9-to-5 job, or I wish I lived in a better part of town, or I've always wanted to travel, but I never seem to have the money, then I would say to them, okay, well, like if that's your goal, let's look at how to get there. And that's when you kind of work in this, I'm going to save money in all these different ways kind of thing. That's kind of how I look at it.
No, it's interesting you say that because there's a famous experiment called the marshmallow experiment where this
Oh,
psychologist
yeah.
gave his daughter a marshmallow and said, "If you don't eat this marshmallow and in 15 minutes I'll give you a second one." And he left the room, there was no stimulation, and he found out that the daughter like he she would eat the marshmallow like every single time. It's like, "Why? Like just wait 15 minutes and you can have two marshmallows." And he learned that the human brain values a small short-term gain as a bigger value than a large gain down the road.
Oh, yeah.
So I think people like spending their money on fast food because it's immediately great, But in the long run, it's a lot nicer to save up and buy a house because some people they rent
Yeah.
until like 50, 60 years old and
100%.
there's no forward thinking.
Well, I think delayed gratification is one of the greatest joys in life. It
Yeah.
really is. Climb a mountain, right? You don't go mountain climbing so you can take a selfie, 5 feet up, right? Like you're going to the top. Like let's get to the top and then we'll take 50 pictures. And we live like today's world is a, I think delayed gratification has probably always been hard, because we are humans and I think there's a lot of truth in like, I do this and I get that right away. But I mean, even today, I mean, we have so much stimulation
Jeez,
and
like
right from everything. We have a supercomputer in our pocket that's feeding us likes and comments and things that set that just dump dopamine into our brain all day long. I mean, it's hard to even consider wanting to wait for something to come through. But I mean,
I know,
you
man.
can
It's
just
affecting relationships. It's affecting
yeah.
like life. Like you have a dopamine like producer in your pocket. It's insane.
It's amazing. It works the same way as gambling machines, actually. Like it's
Yeah.
the same way they get you to sit down. That same technology that's used to keep you sitting down and
Yeah.
cranking a crank at a slot machine for hours on end and losing money is the same technology in your pocket that keeps you, again, your attention on one thing and doesn't let you out to go and actually see the world. And I mean, I think one of the best, I think one of the best things is on the other side of it is once you start experiencing how big delayed gratification will pay you back, it becomes addicting in its own way. Like when I saw that, waiting 5 years, and saving every penny and being super, super tight with everything got me a college degree or a university degree and then afforded me the chance to travel for a year around the world. I mean, it was after that, there's no question in my mind. It's like, no. Here's how we're playing the game from now on. That worked great. We're gonna keep that going. We're gonna save up for the big things, and we're gonna enjoy the little things.
That's amazing. Yeah, but it's also crazy too how even though your brain acknowledges that is a real thing, how easy it is to slip back in your old ways.
Oh,
So,
for sure, for
yeah.
sure. That's actually a big reason why I do the grocery thing.
Yeah.
So the even today I love going to the grocery store. I have so much fun.
It's a game, eh?
it's a game. It is a game. I used to bring a calculator and a pencil and paper, but now I've gotten so good at doing like that level of math because I've done do it once every week for the last 7 years. I just have fun with it. But one of the biggest reasons I still do the grocery thing is it's a large saver for me, but more than just saving me, thousands of dollars every year. It's a weekly reset, right? Every week when I go to the grocery store and I say, Ben, you've got $30, period. That's how much you can spend, make it work. It makes me kind of look back at the week and say, how did I spend my money this week? Am I living consistently with trying to make my goals happen? Or did I kind of get a little out of control? And it just kind of resets me. And it also makes me remember my gratitude of, hey man, there's p you know 30 bucks may not seem like much, but there's tons of people in the world that have a lot less, and their money can't go as far. Like they have less opportunities to spend it as well, right? Like I mean, I literally live like north of 60, and I can buy a pineapple every week. That's crazy. That's ridiculous.
It's a humbling thought to think that if you are on the poverty line in Canada, you are still in the top 1% in the entire world.
Right. Right.
Like we're so lucky to live here. Like
It's
we really don't have to
unbelievable.
worry about a lot.
No. And that's kind of how I deal with that. That's how I deal with that sliding back into a habit is every week when I'm in the grocery store, I get reminded, be thankful for what you have, appreciate any of your money, and don't be wasteful. What you've got is enough. Make it work. And remember why you're doing it. And then that kind of resets my brain. But I mean, obviously, there are weeks where I like, I'm just in the wrong mood and I'm like, we are buying pizza and we are buying it now.
It's like 11 p.m. and your weakest point.
Exactly. Like I worked as a part-time as a bartender, and you're like riding home from the bar at like 2 p.m. and the pizza place is still open and I'm like, we're doing
But do you get a slice or you get a whole pizza?
Oh, we get the slice. Gotta, can't go too crazy here.
So is that the slang up there? You say you're north of 60?
North of 60, yeah. Yeah,
Yeah, and how did you
simply.
find yourself up in the north, eh?
You know what? It was followed my gut. It was just a gut feeling.
Really?
Yeah, I was living in Halifax. I'd just gotten back from traveling, and I was the post-travel depression had hit me pretty hard.
I believe it.
And I mean, you're living in such a amazing, stimulating life for a while, and then you're like, oh, now I need to get a 9-to-5 job or what have you to make ends meet, start saving up again. Unfortunately, the job market in Halifax was pretty dried up by the time I'd gotten back, and I don't hear great things about it today either. In fact, if you know anybody with technical skills, give them my number. We're hiring in the north.
Well, if I don't find a job in the next month and a half, then I'll take you up on that because I have technical skills. I have a degree in computer
Well,
science.
you can stay with me in the meantime. I'll
Yeah,
take care of you.
done.
Basically, I had a job that was paying me way less than I was worth. I was getting by, but I wasn't feeling really. Wow, this is great. I'm gonna be here forever. I was kind of, I need another adventure. I am being way underpaid. And even after exercising all of my contacts and credentials as, mechanical engineer in Halifax, knowing a million people, definitely, I was surprised it didn't get me anywhere. And I was walking down the street, and I had this gut feeling all of a sudden that I needed to move to the Yukon.
Really?
And it was just like that. It was just like lightning struck. And I had that same feeling. I've had that same feeling like 3 times in my life. And the first time was to take an was to take an engineering degree at Dal. That was the first time I ever had that. I only applied to, I didn't apply anywhere else. I just said, nope, this is where I'm going. I know it's going to work. That might not be the wisest move, but it was what my gut said, and I'm very happy I did it. I could have had more leverage if I applied to other places. That would have been smart. The second time was to travel the world for a year, and I had a lot of people say that was crazy too, but I followed my gut, and it turned out to be probably one of the greatest years I've ever had in my life, and certainly very defining for who I've become. And the third time was moving to the Yukon. It had just come completely out of the air, just walking down the street on, I think it was on Queen Street, just before Spring Garden. And I just stopped walking, and I was like, I need to go to Whitehorse. I'm supposed to be in the Yukon now. And my dad and I used to watch these northern shows together, like Life Below Zero and The Last Alaskans, and terrific TV shows. Dad's super conservative with money, and he always tells, probably where I get it, and he tells me all the time, don't be impulsive, really think things through. And I called him, I said, Dad, I need $1,500 for a one-way ticket to the Yukon. And I had no money, right? Like, my job was paying me enough to live, but that was it. I had no money.
Really? It was
And
this intense, eh?
I just said, Dad, I need $1,500 for a one-way ticket to the Yukon. And he goes, that makes perfect sense. I'll send it to you right now. Literally, it's just like that.
I
Like,
love
I know, it's
it,
unbelievable. Super, don't be impulsive, Dad. Just, he was like, nope, I get that. That's
Yeah.
great. And everybody up here asked me, oh, you came up for work? And it's like, well, no, I had no job. I knew two people. They were sending me pictures of the place, and I used to go camping with them all the time. And they said, well, we think you'd really love it up here. And if you ever want to visit, you could stay with us. And so I just booked a plane ticket with my dad's cash, flew up there, and believe it or not, on the first day I was she my buddy they picked me up at the airport, took me back to their place, passed out. I think I'd been in the Yukon for 12 hours, and I got hired at my first two jobs right out of the gate. I was making ice at the curling rink and as the bartender. It was that quick.
Oh, my days, dude.
It's unreal, eh? And then I met a guy at the bar who was building a house, and he needed an extra laborer to insulate it. And I said, well, I can probably figure that out. Like, let's go. And he started paying me more money to insulate the house than I was being paid at my engineering job in Halifax.
Jeez,
I'm
really?
not even kidding you. I'm not even kidding you, right? And then, while I was working those jobs, I found an apartment, and those first three jobs afforded me my first month's rent and my damage deposit. Then I borrowed my buddy who I was staying with. I borrowed his bike, ripped around town, applied to, I think
Is
we have
this the
12
famous
engineering
fat
firms.
bike?
Oh, not yet, not yet. We're almost at Fat
Oh,
Mike. Yeah, we're almost at Fat Mike. This was borrowed bike. And it's just my buddy's hardtail that I was ripping around on town. I went to I think it was, I think we have 12 engineering firms in Whitehorse, or
Okay.
technical firms that I could probably put my skills to work at.
Yeah.
And in 1 month, in 6 months in Halifax, I'd had a really hard time getting hired even at one place, and I was really appreciative to get that opportunity. I get that the competition's high, but in Whitehorse, in 1 month, I was offered two full-time engineering positions, and I took one with Northwestel,
No way.
and I'm a full-time renewable energy engineer in the north, and it's a riot, and that all happened in 1 month.
That's
So I mean,
phenomenal, man.
the lesson here is, when your gut says go.
So you're working as an engineer and as a bartender in the evenings?
Yeah, I've got four jobs now.
Jeez, Ben.
I work as an engineer full time. Then I bartend at least twice a week, but usually three and sometimes four times. And then I do construction on the evenings and the weekends. Same guy this time; he's building a fourplex, and again, just I'll help out. And then I also play in a band, and we have usually two gigs every month, and get paid for that.
That's insane, Ben.
It's
Your
wild. It's
life.
wild. Well, hey man, if you love what you do, it's not work. You know what I mean? People say, "Oh,
Precisely.
poor job sounds like a lot," but I basically just have fun all day. I mean, Excel spreadsheets aren't everybody's definition of fun, but I think data management is dope. I have a great time with that. I have a lot of fun with that. Anyway, and then to bring it up to the fat bike, after I got the job at Northwestel as an engineer, and I had my rent under control, and my jobs were starting to pay me enough that I was kind of lifted above survival mode, I returned my buddy's bike. I went to Icicle Sports, amazing, amazing sports shop, like terrific for bikes, skiing, everything. The people there are awesome. And I bought my first ever fat bike for just shy of $2,000, and it became basically my entire personality.
That's a big investment for you, 2 grand.
I've never spent as much money on one thing in my entire life, but
Really?
it was either buy a $2,000 fat bike, and that works all year round in the winter, because up here winter is pretty inescapable. You have to confront it. It was either $2,000 on a bike that would cost me no gas and free maintenance for the first year, because if you buy a bike from them, they'll give you a year of free maintenance because they're great. And it was either that or spend probably upwards of $6,000 to $8,000, and then plus another 2 grand every year of gas to buy a car. So it was either 2K for a bike, and then I could get exercise, and I love biking. Like, biking is the best. Oh, you feel so good. You arrive to work, you've already had half an hour of exercise. You have a good day, you have a bad day, you still get half an hour of biking where you can just yell and meditate.
And a fat bike goes through anything.
It's unstoppable. You can get a foot of powder, and it just blasts through. It's a beast. It's unquenchable. It's just unstoppable, insatiable. I mean, the fat bike, you could pedal up an ice rink, at like a 45-degree. Like, this thing's amazing.
Got any slopes up there? Do you do any snowboarding, skiing up there?
Yeah, actually, we've got Mount Sima, which
Mount
is
Sima.
and this is a huge selling point for Whitehorse. I didn't realize this until I came up here. But the ski hill, which is, I think it's just shy of, what is it? A couple thousand feet or something like that. Like, it's not small. Like, it's for Nova Scotian standards, it's huge. And anyway, this hill has awesome powder, wicked skiing conditions. You have huge ski season because the winter's so long here. You get like at least 6 months. I think I went 30 times last year,
Holy.
and it's a 15-minute drive from downtown.
No way. And it sounds like if is the population relatively low down there, so you're not really battling for the hill?
I've never spent more than 5 minutes in a lift line at SEMA.
Oh,
Never.
man.
And it's unbelievable. And then the course, and then you look at the town. Talent we have up there. I mean, you can watch some of the best pros in the world at SEMA, especially in the early season, because of our extended winters in the north. People from around the world come here to train because they get an extra month of training in every year.
Oh, yes.
Right. So, like, SEMA is like crafted by this guy, Tyler. I can't remember his last name, but he used to craft jumps and things for the Olympics.
And he
Right.
works on SEMA.
And he works at SEMA full time. He's an artist. Some of the stuff he builds it's magnificent. Tyler's the man. And he's a super chill dude. And then the frugality of that, like, I love to ski, I love to snowboard, but it's a famously expensive sport. I actually signed up and became a ski patroller a few years ago, and I can ski for free at most of the hills in Canada.
You
Yeah.
smart mother frickin' dude.
And stay, yeah, and it's just and I get the added bonus of learning advanced first aid, which is a great skill anywhere you go in life.
Of course, yes, my
That's a
dude.
huge win. It only cost me, I think it was like every year they charge us $160 for dues, and that's all I spend. That's it. That's my whole skiing. And then, for my snowboard, which I love, I bought my snowboard with pizza money.
Pizza money.
Yeah,
What?
pizza money. So back in Halifax, when there's Pizza Corner and everything.
Yes.
And in most major cities, you get sliced when you go home from the bar. Basically, I really wanted a snowboard, and I couldn't afford one. But once in a while, once a week, people would go down to Pizza Corner and get a slice, after a night of having fun.
Okay,
And
yeah.
basically, like, pizza's cool, but I want a snowboard. So we'd go down there. Instead of buying a slice of pizza, I just saved $5. And all I said to myself, like, all I gotta do is save $5 20 times, and I'm gonna have 100, and then I could find a bargain bin snowboard. And sure enough, I actually like stuck to it and bought a snowboard at Sport Chek that was min my height from the year before, marked from $400 down to 100, brand new, never been
No
ridden.
way.
And I straight up bought a snowboard on pizza money. And
Ben,
so
your
I'm like,
luck is insane.
there's luck, and there's perseverance too. There's, you know what I mean? Like, I dug for that board, like through piles of snowboards, and it was really hard not to buy pizza, especially with everybody around me just being like, "Oh, it's so good, smothered in Donair sauce. What a great investment!" And I was like, "I will have a snowboard."
And you're still riding it to this day.
I've been riding that thing for 5 years. Why would I buy a new one?
That's insane, man. I've been using the same board for maybe like 10 years. My parents bought it for when I was like a kid, and one of the
Perfect.
bindings broke, and it's duct taped right now. Like it's
Amazing. Amazing. Don't do anything unsafe, but duct tape's pretty good.
it's pretty wicked,
Yeah.
man. So let's see. We talked about your evolution trip around the world, where you work. Closing remarks, my friend. Do you have any philosophies on like life? Or we've talked about money, but just like how do you like you're such a happy man.
Thank
And
you.
like the moment I met you, I was like, holy crap, this guy's like he's like how could you hate this guy?
Thank you. I really appreciate that. There are some people that have found ways to hate me, but that's a small group, thankfully. What I would say is, there are a couple big moments in your life, but most of life, it seems to me, is small things, right? A lot of it's doing the dishes, eating a meal, seeing your buddy, biking to work, whatever it is. They're usually pretty small things. And so I would say learn to enjoy the little things, like really get a kick out of the small joys in life. You step outside, you have a breath of fresh air, you're asleep all night long in essentially a box, and you go outside, you get that first breath of fresh air, and you're like, sweet, you're like, man, trees made this. This is great. You start biking over to work, and you feel yourself sweating. You're like, man, my body totally works. That's a great feeling. Somebody at the grocery store, you can make eye contact with somebody accidentally, and they kind of look away, and you look away, and you're just like, oh man, humans are so funny. We're such weird creatures. It's just little things like that, and that'd be my advice to people is, there's a lot of really nice moments if you just take the time to look for them and see them. And if you enjoy the little things in life, most of the ride is gonna be a pretty pleasant one. I mean, you're gonna have hard days, but hey, there's a lot of sunshine out there. There's a lot of pretty funny, comical things. Another thing I would say to people is try and imagine your own life like a third person view, like somebody else is watching you, so that when you do inevitably screw up, it's hilarious. Like, you can imagine the audience laughing, right? With the laugh track at the back. Oh, what do you do this week? So, whenever you have a screw up, it's really easy to get upset and frustrated, and some things are very serious and need to be taken care of immediately. But, most of the things you mess up are, if you were a third person, pretty funny.
So it sounds like to me your two life lessons are be grateful for the simple fact that you're alive and imagine you're in the Truman Show.
That's basically, yeah, only you're not trapped. It's totally your own life. Unless you ask Elon Musk, and we're all in a simulation.
Simulation,
I mean, he's been right about so many other things. I have a hard time. Maybe he's right about this. But yeah, it's there's a lot of joy in the simple things in life, and that's gonna help you out basically most, if not every day of the year, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I love that, man. That is so freaking wholesome, and it fits it fits the profile of Ben for
Thanks,
that
brother.
day. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing I could say to people is save your money. You can accomplish, never underestimate the power of a small number multiplied greatly.
Of course, yeah.
Right.
Because if you're spending like 20 bucks on a pack of cigs every 2 days, like that adds up over
That
time.
is huge.
That's
20
so much
bucks.
money.
That is a ton of money. 20 bucks to every 2 days, $60 a week, 60 times 52. That is $3,120 a year. And that's after you've already paid your taxes because you've already earned that money, right? So you could tax-free save 3K. Yeah.
Ben, it has been a pleasure.
You too.
Thank you for sharing your story with me. And if you know any other movers and shakers, let me know. I'd love to have them on the podcast. And yeah, it's been a pleasure, my friend.
Man, always I shake your hand, but I can't like reach through the computer, but it's great to see you, Curtis. Good
I
luck
love
with
it, man.
everything, buddy.
Of
And
course.
yeah, man, onward and upwards, buddy. Onwards and upwards.
Yeah, what's my closing tagline?
Your closing tagline? Oh, 25 bucks a week, baby!
Baby! So, from every podcast from now on, it's 25 bucks a week, baby! All
Better work.
I'll catch you next time.
Adios, buddy.